Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I mean, God's good. His presence is here. And, you know, it's with that being said, let's go ahead and bow our heads as I just pray for myself. And I just thank you, Pastor, for praying for me. Lord, Heavenly Father, God, I thank you once again for giving me this honor, Lord, to share your uncompromisable word, Lord. I pray that you hide me behind your cross, Father God. Because, Father, we honor your name this morning, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you use these lips of clay, Lord, to bring forth your message. Holy precious name we pray. Amen. What I want to be speaking about this morning is about trust. Pastor's been on this for a couple of weeks already, and I'm going to go ahead and continue with it. Trust. But I put it into my three points this morning. Trust him that he will not fail you. Trust him that he has a purpose for your life. And trust him with your finances. My foundational scripture is Romans 8:28. The word of God, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And the word of God reads, and we know that in some things, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Once again, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That means everything, God, in all. He's going to work it out for our good if we trust him. That's the word that's there, is trust. Okay, going to my first point. Trust him that he will not fail you. Matthew chapter 14. Start in verse 22, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them to the other side when he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already considerable distance from the land, buffed by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Verse 29. "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over the land of Gennesaret, verse 35, when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged them to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. It's symbolic to the ways in our lives. When things are going all around us are just chaotic. But Jesus and his mercy is there waiting for us to call on his name. You know, I know you've seen that picture where someone's drowning, his hand like that, and Jesus is just there waiting for him and picks him up. And that's the way it is. You know, sometimes we lose sight of that. We lose that. You know what? Whatever we're going through, we got to trust that he's there for us. That he will not fail you. Amen. And that he will pick you up. Marky and Raymond, can you all come, brothers? I'm going to share an illustration real quick. And I'm sure you've seen this time and time again.
Do you trust your big brother? Do you sure? Trust him with everything you have. All right. Thank you, guys. Just a little illustration. Pastors talked about it. You know, and it's like when we feel like we're going to fall, but Jesus is right there to catch us. You know, and I shared this with the FCA also, was it last Wednesday? I mean, thank God, you know, it's getting like the kids are very tentative, and averaging 8 to 10 kids. They keep coming, so it's all good. The Bible says that some plant, some water, God does the increase. And I showed that illustration to the kids, and I told them 100% you can trust this, that Jesus is going to take care of you. He's got your back. All right, Psalms chapter 34. And it's funny, this Wednesday when I got there at FCA, I was running, I got there right on time. It's like, man, you're all here, but when I'm here early, where are you guys at? Yeah, it's just funny. They're all just waiting for me. Psalms 34, starting in verse 7. The word of God reads, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." Thank you, Lord, for that. Each one of us has an angel encamped around us. And angels are humongous. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." I love that scripture. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies." Oh, can I read that again? "Keep your tongue from evil and telling your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." Come on, somebody. "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from some? No, the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. None of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned." Come on, somebody. Get excited, man. I love verse 19. "The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all." Thank you, Jesus, for that. That we can trust that. We can trust his word. People, men and women from the Bible, they had troubles. But they trusted in Almighty God that he's going to take care of them. That he has a plan for their lives. The same for us. That he has a plan for us. The deal is still on. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. "Once again, trust him that he will not fail you." The word of God. "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders." Young people out there. "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble." See, a lot of young people have a problem with this, submitting. And it's sad what this generation, the young generation, they have a hard time with it. That's why we got to pray for our young people. I work with young people, and it's sad, you know, when there's no respect. But the old saying, it all starts at home. And it's so true. Okay, I'm sorry. I got a little ahead of it. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for us. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand in faith in the faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Verse 10. The Word of God reads, and the God of all grace, who called you in his eternal glory in Christ, after you suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Verse 10 again. And the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. In this life, we're going to go through troubles. The troubles, are you going to strengthen you or are they going to break you? Because God has the best in store for each one of us. Sometimes we might question, why am I going through this? Why this? Why that? But at the end of the day, we got to trust him. When people let us down, he will not let you down. He will lift you up. Because he has a plan and a purpose for your lives, for your families. Trust him that he will not fail you. He will not, because he loves you. My second point, trust him that he has a purpose for your life. Trust him that he has a purpose for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. As you all know, that's my favorite scripture. My scripture to go to. I'm sorry. Jeremiah 29:11, the Word of God reads, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come to pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. He's got a plan for us. When I read verse 12 again, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Isn't that beautiful that he listens to us? He will not fail you. He has a purpose for your life. We're not just here to take up space. We're here for a reason. Jeremiah 1:5. The Word of God reads, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. Verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I sent to you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow and build and to plant. Isn't it something when God asks us to do something like, nah, I don't see myself doing that. There's no way, you picked the wrong person. That's how God works. Sometimes you say, I'll never do that because, yeah, God's going to pick you. And you're like, what? No, not me. When I was young, I was very, to skip to speak in front of people, I would stutter. I was like, no, I was very, very timid, you know. But once God got a hold of me, it was like, oh, ain't no turning back. I mean, how could I not know, pray, serve the Lord after what he's allowed me to see? And it's something beautiful. And I thank him every day, and I pray to God that he continue to give me strength to fight this faith walk. He knew us before we were, once again, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb. Before I formed Eloi in the womb, I knew. Personalize it. Write your name in the Bible. I set you apart and appoint you to prophet to the nations. That's awesome. How God knew us even before we were born. I don't know about you, but that's something beautiful. It's something amazing. Psalms 139. Psalms 139, starting in verse 13. The Word of God reads, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." There it is again. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to me. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake, I am still with you." When you go to the beach, you just get a handful of sand and let go of it. It's amazing. The Bible also says that he knows the numbers of hair on our head. He goes to that extent to show us how much he loves us. And he has a purpose for which each one of us. He can trust that. Don't let people label you. Be you. Don't try to be someone you're not, because you are unique. The Bible says he created you. He created you for greatness. Don't let people label you. Don't be a follower neither. Be yourself. There's so many followers out there, man. Be you. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion, unto the day of Christ Jesus." When God starts something in you, it's because he has a purpose and he's faithful to complete that work. I'm going to get a little personal with you all about this, how I was talking about. "I thank my God every time I pray. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." And I look in my life growing up and coming to this church when I was 9, 10 years old, around there. I don't remember exact age. And I just want to say thank you, Sister Green, and along with your husband. I always honor you all because I know you all were praying for me. Along with Pastor Elias being my youth pastor. And my uncle's mom that passed away a few weeks ago, she would always tell me, "Mijo, estoy orando por ti. I'm praying for you." That meant the world to me. That was priceless. Growing up, I know people were praying for me. Miss Ortega as well, Maria Ortega. She came to this long time ago. Growing up, she said she was always praying for me. And I was surrounded by prayer. There's power in prayer. I don't know how many times God protected me. But those words, they just recited in my heart that I'm praying for you. Pastor Green and Sister Green never gave up on me. I came in here as a young boy that was hurting. They needed direction. Thank God for my grandparents that took me in when I was 2 months old. And you see, you all know this miracle that happened this past summer. I'm finding my mom, and a lot of things are going on around me right now. But I trusted God that I knew my mom was alive. God answered my prayer. And as an adult, God surrounded me with families. And when I was in mission, my uncle, my aunt took me in. Como dice el dicho, que nunca me faltaba nada. Meaning that I lacked nothing. My grandparents weren't perfect, but they showed me something when I was growing. They took care of me. They clothed me. They had a shelter, had food to eat. No, I'm just, man, I remember in this time my grandpa too, like, era bien, he was a hard man, prideful, Mexicano, his way or the highway, right? I don't know why I'm going to speak about this, but I'm going to go and just talk about it. The night before my grandfather passed away, I heard him crying out to God. Like, God, forgive me. Dios, perdóname. He was talking to God. I could hear him in the other room. He was talking to God. And the following day, he's like, he told us, which is my grandma, wife, perdóname. Perdóname, vieja, como era contigo. Like, forgive me for the way I was with you. And that day he passed away. And when my mom, like I said, you know, last time at junior year, I was like, so many things going on in my junior, senior year going on with me personally. But I would still pray. I would still read my Bible, not even knowing why. I didn't understand it. But I always came to church for a reason. I always came. I came. So I started going to the Catholic Church. That's where I started. No one forced me. I just went out of my free will for a reason. Now I know why. Because of the call of God that's upon my life. You know, and I went to another church, and I ended up here, going to church camp, experiencing God, and going back to the old ways. And you know, it's like Pastor says, I love when he says that, that every time someone comes up to the altar, a young person that never, say, nunca va a cambiar, he's never going to change. You know what? God's doing a work in their hearts. Because I can look in my personal life knowing that God was doing a work in my heart when I answered the altar calls at camp. Here at church. Parents, this is the best place you can bring your kids, your children at church. Because the days are dark out there. Young people are just experiencing different things. And this is where young people need to be at children. Grow up in the faith. Because when we experience God at a camp, you will never forget that. And I can remember back experiencing God at camps and even as an adult, things that I'm never going to forget till the day I die because they were special to me. Times I experienced God at Bible school, they were special to me. It was twice that they had to carry me out of a prayer meeting because I was gone in the presence of God. It's just amazing. Serving God is the best thing you all can do. Families is the best thing you can do, serve God. As people were praying for me, this is my point this morning. Now I'm praying for my pastors. Now I'm praying for Pastor Green and Sister Green. I'm praying for Daniel, for y'all's children. Praying for the church family. Praying for Grandma Janie, for Ruth. For my family back in mission. All my family members, for Raymond and Nelda, Raymond Jr., Marky, my brothers, my little sis Bianca. As I shared with them, you know, the love that God's given me, you know, for their family is from God. I'm so thankful, you know, they're real supportive with me. They go see me when I go coach, and I want to say this in front of the church. Thank you. Love you guys. Love the church family. I love you from the depths of my heart. Because trust. I have every reason to be mad at the world because of what happened to me growing up. have every reason not to be here behind this pulpit. As I tell the kids at FCA, Fellowship Christian Athletes, I say, I should not be where I'm at today, guys. I can be a statistic and say, you know what, the heck with the world because of what happened to me. I could be mad at God for what happened to me. But I choose not to. Because I know from the depths of my heart that He's got a purpose for my life. I know from the depths of my heart He's got a destiny for me to fulfill in this lifetime. And I pray to God that I will fulfill it with His help. Because I've seen too much stuff growing up. The bad, the ugly, even with church. But I choose to move forward. I choose to trust my Heavenly Father that He's helping me. He's guiding me. I know that He's got something for me. My last point, trust Him with your finances. Trust Him with your finances. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. The Word of God reads, Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Sorry, verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? We are mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me. But you ask, how are you robbing you? How are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruits before it will rip, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. That's the Word of God saying this, not me. I don't know about you, but I want to live a blessed life. Trust Him with your finances. And He's going to take care of you. This is a command. This is an act of worship. Giving out of your heart, giving in tithes. The Word of God says that obedience is better than sacrifice. God doesn't want your money. He wants your obedience. He wants to bless you. Trust Him with that. Matthew chapter 6. I'm almost finished. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, or stay away in barns, and your Heavenly Father feeds them, and you are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not
much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has its own trouble of its own. We get so consumed with our future, what's going to happen with this, with that. You know, and I share for this personally, sometimes that happens with me. I get like ahead of myself, like, worry about today. There's this poem that I love. Help me believe what I can be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Trust him with your finances. Do not worry. Because worry, it's not good. You're always going to be thinking about it. Give it to God. There's some things that we cannot control, unfortunately. If God wants to carry it, doesn't want you to carry it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, my last scriptures. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11. You will be enriched in every way, so you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have prove yourself. Others, we praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them, with everyone else. And in their prayers for their hearts will go out to you because the surprising grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Once again, trust him. That's a big word, right? Trust him that he will not fail you. Trust him that he has a purpose for your life. Trust him with your finances. And once again, I'm praying for the church family. I love you. But most importantly, God loves you. And he's got a plan and a purpose for your family. You can trust that. My closing statement, God desires to bless you and your family in what I just said. Trust him that he has the best interest for you and your families. Trust. He's going to take care of you. And that's all I have for this morning. Thank you.